We've been working our way through different parts of the letter of Job in the last couple of weeks. And today we're continuing that, this time looking at a very interesting and important chapter in the book of Job, Job chapter 28. And I'm going to begin reading with you at verse 12. Job chapter 28, beginning at verse 12. Where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell? No mortal comprehends its worth. It cannot be found in the land of the living. The deep says, "It is not in me." The sea says, "It is not with me." It cannot be bought with the finest gold, nor can its price be weighed out in silver. It cannot be bought with the gold of Ophir, with precious onyx or lapis lazuli. Neither gold nor crystal can compare with it, nor can it be had for jewels of gold. Coral and jasper are not worthy of mention. The price of wisdom is beyond rubies. The topaz of Cush cannot compare with it. It cannot be bought with pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from? Where does understanding dwell? It is hidden from the eye of every living thing, concealed even from the birds in the sky. Destruction and death say, "Only a rumor of it has reached our ears." God understands the way to it, and he alone knows where it dwells. For he views the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he established the force of the wind and measured out the waters, when he made a decree for the rain and a path for the thunderstorm, then he looked at wisdom and appraised it. He confirmed it and tested it. And he said to the human race, "The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. My friends, as we've been looking at the story and the message in the book of Job, what we've been doing is diving deep into a type of literature in the Bible that's called wisdom literature. And not surprisingly then, we have been thinking and talking about wisdom itself. Wisdom is essential. It's particularly important when we are at the point of setting up routines. Imagine that you have to go to work or to school tomorrow morning. You say, "I know what I'll do. I am going to go partying and I'm going to stay out until 3 o'clock in the morning." Would that be wise? No, that would be actually pretty foolish. Wisdom would be for you to say and to do, "I will go to bed at a decent time tonight and I'll get up with my alarm clock, so that I can make coffee and have breakfast and a shower and get dressed and go to work on time and be in a position that I can be productive and effective in what I do." Wisdom has you do that, but after a while, wisdom like that becomes a routine. It's what you do. You naturally, because it makes sense for you, to take care of yourself and to do these things that will give you energy and health and happiness. You don't have to think, "What should I do? Should I go out terribly late?" No, you say, "No, I'm going to get sufficient sleep to do my job." That's wisdom. It's when routines are upended that wisdom becomes that conscious thought, that decision, that meditation that guides you. COVID struck our community months ago. Well, not just our community. It's afflicted the whole world. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to handle it? What actions are going to be required of you because we live in this COVID world? My two sons have good jobs. And they both have families with little children. Both of them were required to work from home. What were they going to do when they had to stay in their houses with their kids running around? And how were they going to get their work done? And how were they going to keep their children happy and their wives from going nuts? Well, they thought about it. They made plans and procedures. They explained to everybody what had to be done. And it's working for them. They showed a lot of wisdom. Well done, guys. Well, in this time, our need for wisdom only intensifies. The coronavirus is a very dangerous thing, and it spreads terribly easily. So wisdom has led us as a society to make some decisions, that take some actions. Wear your masks. Keep 2 meters apart from people. Don't assemble in large groups. Wash your hands. All these things. And when we do, we say we are being wise in the face of this virus. But we know that not everyone is wise. A week or two ago when I was on vacation, I had pulled up to a Tim Hortons, going to buy a coffee. And before I could get out of the car, a couple of guys walked by the side of my car, talking really loudly, not wearing masks. I think actually they'd been drinking. And they were saying to each other, using all kinds of inappropriate words, "No, I will not wear a mask. No, no one is going to tell me what to do. This whole coronavirus, COVID, is a hoax anyway." And as I watched them go into the restaurant, I thought, you fools. There's another story. There's a minister of a church in California. It's been in the news. Probably you know all about it. But he's a pastor of a mega church who has written some books that I actually really appreciated. I found them very helpful, and I was glad to be able to read them. Well, this prominent minister has decided that he and his congregation are going to disobey all the laws and guidelines given for coronavirus. So they're in a church building packed to the gills, shoulder to shoulder, cheek by jowl, and they're all singing away and no one's wearing a mask. And even though the government says we're gonna fine you for this, they say, well, we only do what God wants. As if God wants people to be put at risk. Wisdom says, do what's required. And it also says, understand that the church is not just a building, and fellowship and worship can happen in ways that do not require people to be put at risk. That minister, for all of his smarts, did not show wisdom. And we know there's lots of people that aren't wise in these times of crisis, if only they would. Now, Job, in the biblical story, wanted to be wise. He valued wisdom. He pursued it. He longed for it. He tried to understand it. In the face of all of his tragedies, remember the story, he lost all of his wealth. He lost all of his children to death. He lost his health so that he was in constant misery. He says, how can I understand what is happening to me? And how can I know what I'm supposed to do and how I should be in this time of misery? And our scripture text says that you look to nature, you say, okay, I'm going to try to find it in the natural realm, and there is no answer for wisdom to those kind of questions. And when he looked to human institutions, said, maybe I will find wisdom there, and there was none to be found. Not in the marketplace, not in the academy, nowhere. And the reason that he couldn't find wisdom in any of those places is that what you learn from the natural realm and what you learn from human institutions are the questions about what. What is it? And maybe when is it? Or maybe how is it? Those things give information. Really important to have that information. But that's not what wisdom is looking for, and that's not what wisdom offers. Job wanted to know who, and he wanted to know why. He was after the kind of wisdom that would let him begin to make sense about what was going on in his life and in his world. He wanted the wisdom that would give him the strength to carry on, the hope to endure. Our scripture lesson tells us that the wisdom that Job sought, which all of us in the days of crisis surely need, is found in God alone. God is the source, the fount of wisdom. And when we know God, when we live into his story, when we understand his nature and have an awareness of the promises that he gives, the promises of renewal, the promise of life, and ultimately the promise of peace, then we are on the path to knowing true wisdom. God gives us the capacity to live in wisdom. And when we live wisely, we can endure these things, these troubles, these pains, these disappointments, these setbacks, all the negative stuff that can be part of life and comes in time to everyone. Wisdom allows us to endure with grace and to have the peace that passes understanding. That is the gift of wisdom. The longer that we live with God, the longer that we journey with him, that we seek to understand him, to hear what he is saying, the deeper we plunge into the spiritual way, the wiser we become, the more at peace we become. And it is a journey. It is a process. Some of us can testify and have shown that we are people who have some wisdom, but not all the time. Every one of us lapses at points into times of foolishness. We have not arrived, we are on the way. And it's a journey that I encourage you to follow and to grow in. There are very practical implications in the way that God calls us to be wise as we pursue this true wisdom. In the most positive way of looking at it, those who are wise will know and serve and obey the Lord. Now, when I say that, some people I know are thinking, oh, that's just that super spiritual stuff again. Well, there is a super spiritual dimension to it. That which is spiritual is important. We will know, we will be in communion with God, and we will be people say, yes, I am a spiritual person who knows our spiritual Lord. And then the wise person is one who prays and engages in those spiritual disciplines. That is true. But to be spiritual also means that as a spiritually wise person who is God's person, that means it impacts every facet of your life. So you are revealing your spiritual wisdom in the way you stand in line at Tim Hortons. When you are at your school, when you're at your work, when you're on your day off, as a wise person who is in tune with the Lord, you'll know what it is to be right with God and act accordingly. That's the positive dimension. But there's also in the text this not negative, but looking at the other side of that, wisdom is also a break. And not only helps you to do what you should do, it also restrains you from doing that which you should not. That which is not of God is that which we should avoid. What doesn't follow Jesus' example or conform to his teaching is that which wisdom says, stay away from that. But recognizing the bad, of course, lets you be more aware of the good so that you can follow it. And conversely, when you recognize that which is holy and good, you'll know that the opposite of that is what we should not go near. So this is really what I've been saying. Times of crisis intensify our need for wisdom. Number two, God is our only source for true and deep wisdom. And number three, godly wisdom directs us to godly action. We should take note of that and be committed ourselves to being people who seek that kind of wisdom. That pleases God and that blesses us. And not just us, blesses those around us, within our families, within our neighborhood, within our community. Let it be said that God's people and this worshiping community is made up of people who seek the wisdom of God and follow it so that we can live with grace through all the tough days and celebrate in the times that are good. This is what the Word of God says. And we receive it in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.